Bycatch is a neutral-sounding word for a sometimes horrible problem in fishing. You see, some methods of commercial fishing end up inadvertently catching a lot of sea life that fishers aren't interested in, along with the fish they're after. And most of that unwanted bycatch is just thrown back into the sea, dead or dying. Bycatch can include all sorts of fish, but also a whole range of other sea life, from marine mammals to turtles and seabirds. Understanding just how bycatch affects natural populations of these non-target species is difficult. What's caught as bycatch is often not measured very carefully before it's thrown back, and often we don't have good estimates of the species' natural abundance anyway. But thanks to a new study by Dr. Bill Montevecchi and his colleagues at Memorial University of Newfoundland, we now have some hard data on the impacts of fishing on one type of bycatch, the seabirds they've been studying for decades around Newfoundland. Dr. Montevecchi, welcome to Quirks and Quarks.
Thanks very much, Bob.
Now, what kind of seabirds have you been studying that are getting accidentally caught in commercial fishing?
Well, for the most part, the birds that we're looking at are the diving seabirds. So that would be puffins, murres, gannets, those birds that pursue their prey by diving or swimming underwater.
And how do they get caught?
Well, you know, most of these nets don't have great visibility. They're put in places where clearly where codfish will go or other fish that the nets are trying to catch. It's really an episodic kind of event, but when it happens, there can be, you know, just nets full up with birds. The birds simply don't see the nets, don't know they're there, they get tangled, they drown. And it's a real problem for fishermen as well, because they certainly don't want to catch these birds, but it's a lot of mortality that we know has been going on for a long time, and we know on a global basis, is really killing lots of birds. What we haven't been able to do is link it and actually say, yes, we can see effects in populations.
What kind of nets are the birds getting caught in?
Salmon gill nets were a big factor close to the surface, and other gill nets as well that would go after cod and deeper water fishes. It shifted from what used to be, you know, cotton twine nets that were biodegradable to monofilament nets that are, you know, less visible and, in fact, not very biodegradable at all. So all of these, and then with just increasing fishing effort over the decades.
Well, how did you get the opportunity to get some hard numbers on how the birds are being affected?
As I said, there's been a lot of studies out there indicating that there's a high mortality. And then, you know, in 1992, there were two major fishery closures here in Newfoundland that were gillnet fisheries and northern cod that we've heard so much about and Atlantic salmon at the same time. So what that resulted in was actually tens of thousands of nets. I mean, just, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilometers of this gear coming out of the water. And that gear's been out of the water now for about 20 years. And as a consequence of that, we could exploit that situation, you know, really as an ocean basin experiment. And as a consequence, do we see anything? Do we see birds rebounding as a consequence of that?
Well, how do you get the numbers of birds? How do you count their populations?
Yeah, and that's the trickiest part, Bob, because as you said in your introduction, it's so hard to pin it down. So if you think of things like marine mammals and even seabirds that are just wandering the oceans, we restricted our counts to major ecological reserves in Newfoundland and Labrador, where we had estimates of their populations from the colonies and compare them with the amount of gear that was in the water, the amount of gear that came out of the water.
So you're talking about these huge colonies where we see the birds on the rock faces of Newfoundland?
Yes, that's right, Bob. Yeah, some pretty spectacular places. That's exactly right.
So what did you see?
Well, you know, we saw two things, actually. You know, there was another spin-off to the fishery as well. There was also all the discards and you know, fish offal and you know, stuff that you throw out after you clean a fish that goes back into the ocean. There was a huge amount of that simply stopped this artificial food source. So the two things we saw in terms of relationships were that the diving birds, puffins, murres, gannets, were increasing, but those scavenging birds, you know, the gulls, essentially, the herring gulls, the blackback gulls, their populations have been going down over the past 20 years. So clearly, These relationships have been, you know, profound, sort of almost ecosystem level experiments that that we can actually see the consequences of.
So that's amazing that the birds that were diving underwater, since the nets were gone, they were doing better. But the birds that were flying around and eating off the surface of the water, they're doing worse because their catch isn't there anymore.
That's right. That artificial food source that were generated by draggers, by inshore fishermen, that's been removed, and as a consequence, they're essentially starving. And we saw those things. Their behaviors changed around that time, and tremendous pressure for them. The thing with the diving birds, too, because they're breeding birds, I just want to point out that all of those birds, puffins, murres, gannets, those birds are, we call it obligate biparental care, and it takes two adults to raise a chick. And whenever one parent dies or doesn't come back, the chick can't be raised because it takes two parents to do that successfully. So in essence, you know, to ramp up what that mortality would have been for those diving birds is every time an adult breeding bird gets caught and drowns in the gillnet, well, its chick also will die because the surviving parent, if both of them haven't got caught, will not be able to raise the chick. So there was a real impact there that's been going on for a couple of decades now for a couple of decades being removed.
Well, how healthy are the bird populations now?
For the diving birds right now, their populations look strong, all of the ones we've mentioned. The gull populations are down, but in fact, their populations were really likely inflated by, you know, us creating these artificial food sources. And in fact, they're probably closer to what their natural populations would be. So I would say, you know, we're feeling good about the diving birds, but I always there's just so much getting thrown at them. You know, these birds, they have oil. The murres here in Newfoundland are hunted. So there's a lot going on, and we're ramping up our use of the ocean all the time. So things are good. We're not depressed, but I think we have to be incredibly vigilant.
Well, what could be done to avoid repeating this as the fisheries recover?
Yeah, and that's the great question. You know, there's a few things, Bob, and they're huge. I mean, some fishermen now are using some alternative gear, fish pots, and I can't imagine that's ever going to replace, the gillnet fishery, but it catches fish live. It's a high-quality fish. And there's also longline fishing for cod and turbot. You know, it's an excellent opportunity to try out some of that gear and get more of that kind of gear in the water. I think the other really important thing, that this is the most opportune time, it seems to me, to be focused on marine protected areas to help rebuild those cod stocks. Canada doesn't have much in the way of marine protected areas. It's actually just disappointing. So we have an opportunity now to take advantage of some of that. And certainly a lot of fishermen are well aware of this and committed to it. But we really need, you know, the bigger effort that's going to produce something.
Dr. Montevaggi, thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, thank you, Bob. I appreciate the opportunity.
Dr. Bill Montevecchi is University Research Professor of Psychology, Biology, and Ocean Sciences at Memorial University of Newfoundland. I'm Bob McDonald, and you're listening to Quirks and Quarks across Canada on CBC Radio 1, across North America on Sirius XM, on various public radio stations throughout the U.S. and around the world on our weekly podcast. Coming up next, Stung.